Father, we thank you for those wonderful words. We thank you, Mashiach Yahushua, for redeeming us, making us holy that we could receive the Holy Ruach HaKodesh. And through you we come to our Father. Amen. Or amen. That's the correct pronunciation. I always say amen, but it's ah. Just like Abraham. Well, tonight we're going to learn about Elisha. Elisha's name is El is Salvation. It's correct pronunciation, which I will try, but I probably won't because I've said it wrong all my life, is El-Yisha. So Elisha means El, that's E-L. We're breaking the word into E, you know, E-Li-Sha. We broke it in the wrong place. So it should be after E-L. El-Yisha, and so Elijah would be El-Yah. So Elisha was a prophet for Israel or for Judah.
Israel,
yeah, for the 10 tribes. It's not for Judah, but for Israel. So we're going to begin on his life and his lessons in 1 Kings 19. Verse 16. That's good that you knew that. There are 12 tribes after Solomon died, 10 for the tribes of Israel, and 2 was Judah and Benjamin.
What's the scripture again?
So people don't know.
They also have Levites too, though, right?
Yeah, Levites in there, but yeah. They're not for the people of the land. 1 Kings 19. So the beginning of Elisha, let's just start with 15. This is to El-Yah, which would be Elijah. I'll say Elijah, but I'll start working on El-Yah, which is Yahweh is El, or El is Yah, Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto him, Elijah, go return to thy way toward the wilderness of Damascus. This is after he was on the cliff and saying, help, and Jezebel's trying to murder me. And here's your, and go return to thy way toward the wilderness of Damascus. Damascus is Syria. And when thou enterest, thou shalt anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. So here's where the first usage of Elisha is. Then, and would be a prophet in thy stead. So this is Elijah's substitute. He's coming in. Replacement, not a substitute, but a replacement. we'll stop right there. Now we go to 19. So he departed from thence and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plying with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, he being with the 12. So Elijah crossed over unto him and cast his mantle toward him. The mantle is important, which we're going to see later on, because when Elijah goes up in the cloud into heavens, the mantle comes down.
What is the mantle?
His coat. Okay. Towards him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, God, look at that, no hesitation. What's the pay? Oh, there's no pay. You know, so Elisha didn't ask, okay, are people going to like me when I do this? So how do they like Elijah? No, they're wanting to murder him.
You have a 401k and dental?
Yeah, 401k, dental, yeah. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, that I may follow thee. And remember that. Follow him. So he's going to be with him when many times we're not even aware that he's even there. And he said unto him, go, turn back for what I have done to thee. So he turned back from, I'm thinking of, most people would not go to Elijah's church or Moses' church. Because it seems like what they say is uncompromisable. And they would go to Aaron's church, the prophet Aaron, and maybe Solomon's church.
Manasseh's church.
Yeah, Manasseh's church for sure. And so all sorts of stuff. People who compromise. Yeah, listen, too heavy, too heavy. So he turned back from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and with the implements of the oxen boiled their flesh. I mean, this is, he's given up his business. He killed his animals and his instruments. And it's like your car dealer. Okay, I'm getting rid of all my cars. And gave unto the people, and they did eat. And then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered unto him. That's the beginning of Elisha. We're going to look at the beginning, the middle, when actually he is the total replacement, and then when he dies, and then we're going to go back and take a look at it. So the middle is 2 Kings 2:13. And this is when Elijah is taken up. Now let's go at 12. And as soon as Elisha saw it, he began crying out, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. But when he could see him no longer, he took off his clothes and rent them in pieces. Then took he up the mantle of Elijah, which had fallen from him. Remember that mantle? And returned and stood on the brink of the Jordan. And with that mantle, he split the Jordan. So it's really, it almost acts as the staff of Moses.
Wow.
Physical. Now we're going to see his death, 13:20. So look how many chapters we've got. There's 22 chapters in Kings. He's in there chapter 19. So there's three additional chapters. And now he's going to die in chapter 13. So you really got about 16 chapters of Elijah. You know, if you can get a paragraph, you know, you're very famous. This guy's got about 16 chapters. So we go to 13. Now he's not in all the chapters, but this is when he ends up going to sleep. 13, verse 20. Melania, read that.
And Elisha died, and they buried him. Now troops of Moabites used to enter the land at coming in of the year.
Stop. Okay. He died. This is chapter 13. And guess what? A resurrection is going to happen right after he dies. Now read 21.
And it came to pass as they were burying a man that, lo, they saw a troop. So they cast the man into this
sepulchre
of Elisha. And as soon as the man touched the bones of Elisha, he came to life again and rose up on his feet.
What kind of significance? It was a resurrection, obviously. Another resurrection. I never thought about that, because you have Elijah resurrecting a boy, Elisha resurrecting a boy, and then here are Moabites that Yahweh thought so highly of his servant that just by touching his dead body, his bones, you know, he was resurrected. Now, what's interesting is, how long do you think his ministry was?
20 or 40 years.
Okay. It's going to be approximately 77 years. And so this is what's really fascinating. 77 years. Man, that's a long time. And so he must have been 90, 97 years old if he started when he was 20. Now how do we get that is, we're going to go through the kings of Judah, which is really Judah. Jehoshaphat was 25 years. We know Elijah and Elisha were with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat started 3 years after Ahab. So we kind of get an idea because we know Elijah was with Ahab. After Jehoshaphat, his son is Jehoram. He reigned 8 years. So look at 25 plus 8. Amaziah was Jeroboam's son. He reigned 1 year. Athaliah, 6 years.
Six years.
And then Joash, who reigned for 41 years, but we're going to see in the 37th year of Joash, Elisha dies. So if you add 25, 8, 1, 6, 37, you're looking at 77 years that was his ministry. Now, we're going to look at his apprenticeship as a prophet was with Elijah. And let's just take an example of that. First, go back to 1 Kings 21. And remember, back in 19, he went with Elijah. You know, he killed his cattle, made a sacrifice, fed everybody, and then went with Elijah. He's with Elijah ever since. Well, we're going to see what Elijah does, and it doesn't mention Elisha, but obviously he's there. 21, 16 through 29. Let's see. You want to read that, Aaron? 16 through 29. Chapter 21, 16 through 29. A little lengthy, but...
Yeah, behold me. It's all right.
Now it came to pass when Ahab heard... 1 Kings.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Chapter 21.
And it came to pass when Achab heard that Naboth was dead, that Achab arose to go down into the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession thereof. Then came the word of Yahweh to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down to meet Achab, king of Israel, who is in Samaria. Lo, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, wherefore he hath gone down to take possession thereof.
Now wait a minute, okay. Elijah's going. Who else is with Elijah?
Elisha.
So I keep reading 17.
Then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, hast thou committed murder and also taken possession? Then shalt thou speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, in the place where the dogs have lapped up the blood of Naboth, shall the dogs lap up the blood even thine. Then said Achab unto Elijah, Hast thou found me, O my enemy? And he said, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to do the thing that is wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. Behold me, bring it in upon thee evil, and I will consume after thee and cut off Achab, even the meanest, whether shut up or left at large in Israel. Is 21?
Yeah, let's see here. 29, I'll read. And will deliver up thy house. Now remember this. This is the prophecy that, you know, and when we say Achab, it's not Ahab. Actually, it's like A-X-H-A-B. Ach means
brother,
and Ab is father, brother, father, or father's brother. We're going to find out later on that Elisha is going to implement the wiping out of the house of Achab. Not Elijah, but Elisha will be the extension of that.
Okay.
So 22, I will deliver up thy house like the house of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, son of Ahijah, for the provocations wherewith thou hast provoked and caused Israel to sin. Moreover also concerning Jezebel hath Yahweh spoken, saying, The dog shall eat Jezebel in the townland of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Achab in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the birds of heaven eat. But indeed there was none like Achab who sold himself to do a thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh. When Jezebel his wife goaded on, so he did very abominably in going after the manufactured gods according to all which the Amorites had done, whom Yahweh depossessed from before the sons of Israel. And it came to pass when Achab heard these words, isn't he, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and laid in sackcloth and went softly. Look at this. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Hast thou seen that Achab had humbled himself before me? Because he had humbled himself before me, I will not bring in the calamity in his day. So if it was going to happen, it was going to be Elijah bringing in the calamity. We're going to see it's not Elijah, it's going to be Elisha. In the day of his son will I bring in the calamity upon his house. Now we go to, so remember Elisha is with Elijah when this is happening. Now let's go to 2 Kings 1, verse 1. This is famous. Let's see here. I think. Yeah, so Achab is dead. Then Moab revolted against Israel after the death of Achab, and Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became sick. So he went, sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Beelzebub, son of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this sickness. But the messenger of Yahweh spake unto Elijah the Tishbite, who is with him? Elisha. Wow. Rise up and go meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it because there is no Elohim in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal Zebub, god of Ekron? Wherefore, thus saith Yahweh, from the bed whereunto thou hast gone up, shalt thou not come down, for thou shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. I love this. Time to go. The lesson of our story many times, or not many times, in this particular story is, Yahweh needs people, us, to do the hard things that people do not want to hear. And who is he talking to? He's talking to, supposedly, the children of Israel. Not to the Gentiles or the unbeliever. He's talking to the children of Israel. Those are the people who want to kill him. So just remember that in the church, the Christian church today, many times what we have to say to the Christian church today, they would like to kill us. That's just the way it is. It's always been that way. Now we go to 9, same chapter. Then sent he unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to unto him, and lo, we're going to learn about haughtiness and lowliness. And this is a good story of, on the haughty will be brought low, and the low will be brought high. Abode on the top of the mountain, and guess who is with Elijah the Tishbite?
Wow.
Elisha. And he said unto him, O man of Elohim, the king has said, come down. Haughty? And Elijah responded and said unto the captain of 50, if then a man of Elohim I am, let fire come down out of the heavens and devour thee and thy 50. So they came down fire out of the heavens and devoured him and his 50. I'm going to stop here for just a minute, digress, and then we're going to finish this story. Elijah, which is really El-Yah, name translated into the Greek Septuagint was Helios. Helios is the sun god. In the Greek New Testament, it's also Helios. Very interesting. Helios, the god Helios, drives a horse-drawn chariot through the sky. Now think of that, because you're talking about fire coming down from heaven, you know, like a god. And then he is a chariot of fire comes through and splits him, and he goes up into heaven. So the Greeks said, hey, we know who this guy is. He's Helios, the sun god. And so that's how corrupt our the Septuagint and the Greek language. Even today, they don't call him El-Ijah. That's what it means. It is the sun. So Helios means the sun. So they call him the Son. It has nothing to do with his name. And Yah is removed from his name. El is removed from his name. He's just called the Son. But that's little things when they find out fire is coming down from heaven. That happens. A second guy comes up, does the same thing. Haughty, brought low. The third one, let's see. 13. Then he again sent a third captain of 50 with his 50, and the third captain of 50 ascended and came near and bowed down upon his knees before Elijah and made supplication unto him. Hey, different attitude. The lowly. And said unto him, O man of Elohim, let my life, I pray thee, and the lives of these thy servants be precious in thy eyes. Lo, there hath come down fire out of the heavens and devoured the captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Now therefore let my life or soul be precious in thy eyes. And he spared him. But remember, Elijah is always there. Now we know back at the chapter 2, they're separated. And so now Elisha is on his own. He's replaced. Well, we know that Elijah, or Eliyah, I got to think about that, is only on retirement. He doesn't live in heaven, as most people are taught. He went into, obviously, in Israel or Judah, and about 7 years later, he writes to the king of Judah, which is the son of Jehoshaphat, and that's only in Chronicles. But the pastors never bring this up. Well, how can, if he's in heaven, how did he write a letter to Jehoram, you know, 7 years later? And so they got a real problem with that.
He was carried away like Philip.
Yeah, he was carried away like Philip into retirement, which is fine. Now, the lessons of Elisha, we're going to see on that Naaman the Syrian. Let's go to Luke 4:24. This is also part of our lesson. When you speak the truth, sometimes fire is going to come down upon you, figuratively. So remember, Yahushua goes to Nazareth, his synagogue, where everybody knows he is. And remember, he talks about this day, Isaiah 61, this day is this prophecy fulfilled. And they're really upset. 24. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, no prophet is welcome in his own country. Well, look at that. Is he talking to the nations or to Israel? Yeah. Israel, to the church. He's in church. So if you're going to speak for Yahweh, generally you're not going to be welcomed. Now, the truth I say unto you, many widows were in the days of Elijah in Israel, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine upon all the land, and unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath of Sidonian, unto a, which is a non-Hebrew, unto a woman that was a widow. That didn't flatter him. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and not one of them was cleansed, say Naaman the Syrian. Didn't like that at all. He's not a Hebrew either. And obviously they try to throw him out of town.
Try to kill him, I thought.
Yeah, throw him down, down from the hill. But now let's go back to 2 Kings 5:1 about Naaman.
2 Kings 5:1?
Yeah. This is the story of Naaman. And we know the story. I'm just going to begin. Now Naaman, general of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man in presence of his Lord, and held in honor because by him had what?
Yahweh given deliverance
to Syria, and the man was a hero of valor, but a leper. Wow, isn't that great? So obviously he was an honorable man. Now, we know the story. He comes down to get healed. Syria was the enemy. He comes down to get healed by Elisha. But we're going to learn a story about being haughty or being brought low. So 9, so he's got all this gear, all this money. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots. Important guy, one of the most important people, like a king in Syria. And stood at the entrance of the house of Elisha. And Elisha came out and met him. No. insult, insult, insult. Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and bathe 7 times in the Jordan, so shall thy flesh come back to thee, and be thou clean. Insult. So is Naaman haughty? Yes. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, lo, I thought unto me, will he come right out? And this is another thing too, wow. I believe, why Ananias brought deliverance to Saul and not one of the apostles. So remember, Saul, or Paul, was blinded and he was in the house, and he's going to be a potentially important person. Could have sent Peter, James, or John. We're going to heal you. No, it's Ananias. They know who he is. So be brought low. So I thought unto me, will he come right out and take his stand and call in the name of Yahweh his Elohim and wave his hand towards the spot and so set free the leopard. And 13. So he's going away in a huff. And we got to remember in our own lives, sometimes things that Yahweh's telling us to do could be sound ridiculous. Don't discount them. Then drew near her servants and spake unto him and said, my father, and these are his servants talking to the great man, my father, if some great thing the prophet had commanded thee, wouldest thou not have done it? Then how much rather when he has said unto thee, bathe and be clean. Okay.
Humbled.
Lowly. He's humbled. Wow. He's being humbled. But he accepts the humility. Then went he down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times according to the word of the man of Elohim, and his flesh came back as the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Wow, because he humbled himself. Now guess what? Elijah's going to come out and meet him now after he humbled himself.
Wow.
So 15. Let me see here. Yeah, okay. Then, and he returned unto the man of Elohim, him and all his company, and came and took his stand before him and said, lo, I pray thee, and I know that there is no man, Elohim in all the earth save in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, accept a blessing from thy servant. And he calls himself what? A servant. Wow. Elijah, his Lord. But he said, so he's talking right to Elijah. So Elijah's right out there talking with him now. By the life of Yahweh before whom I stand, I will not accept one. And though he urged him to accept it, yet did he refuse. So that finishes it off. So that is the valley situation. Huh. That the heart of Naaman was humbled, and he humbled himself. So with all of us, humility is everything. Huh. Don't exalt ourselves. Yahweh will lift us up if we humble ourselves. Hmm. Don't you lift yourselves up. Let's go to... back to, remember when Elijah was told to do 3 things, Ben-Hadad, Jehu, and Elisha. So he was supposed to do 2 tasks, go to Syria, anoint, you know, Ben-Hadad.
Was it Ben-Hadad or Haziel?
I don't know. It was a Syrian, it's not important. Okay. The second one is Jehu, or Jehu. But his really name is Jehu. That's what we're going to talk about. Now we go to 2 Kings 9:1. Elisha. Now Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this flask of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou art coming thither, then look thee out there, Jehu, son of Jehoshaphat, son of Nimshi, and thou shalt enter and get him to rise up out of the midst of his brethren, and take him into an inner chamber. Then shall they take the flask of oil and pour out upon his head, and say, thus saith Yahweh, I have anointed thee to be king unto Israel. And this could also be another thing to be brought in low. For Jehu, because Elisha didn't come. The prophet, his substitute came.
Yeah.
And so if he's not going to accept this, then maybe he's not going to get the job. Let's go to 6 through 10. Then he rose up and went inside and poured out the oil upon his head and said unto him, Thus said Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I have anointed thee to be king unto the people of Yahweh, unto Israel, and thou shalt smite the house of Achab, thy lord. So will I avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh, at the hand of Jezebel. So shall all the house of Achab, and I will cut off to Achab the meanest, both him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. Yea, I will deliver up the house of Achab like the house of Jeroboam son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha son of Ahijah. And as for Jezebel, the dog shall eat her in the town land of Jezreel, there being none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled.
Run.
Yeah. So, the message of two different incidents is, let's go to Jeremiah, is speaking for Yahweh is no rose garden.
We're going to Jeremiah?
Yeah, we're going to Jeremiah. So, our lessons, how does that pertain to us? The Christian church today, and for thousands of years, probably 1,000 years, 1,500 years, is so off course, and needs people to speak up. Really, and we were talking to Melania on that. It's to speak the truth. We were talking about people say, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And you're like, no. It's not heaven or hell, it's life or death. That's John 3:16. So we have to keep correcting people over and over again. John 3:16 is, shall not perish but have life, age abiding. So we're just reading things in, and we're so enamored with polish of individual speakings, and they're just regurgitating what they've been taught, and it is wrong. It just lies. And so we got to speak the truth at the right time in love to the people who want to hear it. And sometimes the people who don't want to hear it, Yahweh can still say, you're going to present it. Well, they're not going to like it. It doesn't make any difference. When Yahushua went into his synagogue in Nazareth, it was going to be a one-time visit because they're going to expel him and he's never going to probably be in Nazareth again. Did he take the commission?
Yep.
Yes. Yahweh needs people with a little backbone, a little testosterone, who will not go, whoa, people don't like me. You know? So we need people like Elijah or Eliyah and Elisha, Elisha, and Jeremiah. And so we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 16.
1:16?
Yeah, Jeremiah 1, verse 16. And you see the first of this, too. He's preparing them. You're not going to be in Forbes magazine most wealthy. Or People magazine.
They're going to put a star in my name in Hollywood?
Yeah, in Hollywood. Just like Donald Trump, you know, really comes down to. Yeah. Then will I pronounce my judgment against them concerning all their wickedness, and that they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods. Do we have the Trinity? Yep. Yes, absolutely. And have bowed down to the works of their own hands. Do they have? Yes, this is the works of their own hands. Thou therefore shalt gird thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I have commanded thee. Okay. Be not dismayed because of them, lest I dismay thee before their face. I therefore, lo, I have set thee today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, and as walls of bronze. Why would I need all this protection? I don't quite get it.
Bulletproof vest?
You will. You will. Yeah. Here's your armor. Put on the whole... What is it? Am I going into battle? Yes. You have to put on your armor.
It's a bomb.
Because guess what? Fiery darts are coming. Over all the land, against the kings of Judah, against her princes, against her priests, and against the people of the land. Well, these are the church. Yeah. Yes. Watch this. 19. And they will fight against thee, but shall not prevail against thee. For with thee am I, declareth Yahweh, to deliver thee. They will fight. I don't want. I'm from peace. Now we go to Acts 4. This is the gig.
But that's really humility.
Yeah.
Being humble is doing what he says.
And you're getting a reward, not in this life. It really comes down to, can I foresee the reward? We were talking, many people do not plan for retirement, called IRAs. And so they consume what they make because it's very pleasurable, but they're not thinking ahead of time. They're not going out because they're not investing in their retirement plan. So the same way with the new earth. We can get rewards now. I got to have my stuff right now, or I can invest into the new earth where I will be rewarded then. Well, I don't get to see it for 50 years or 20 years or 30 years. That's right. You will get to see some of it here, but you're not going to see the fruition of it until you get to the new earth. Neither did Christ. You know, Christ, what did he get? He got murdered. You know, so what kind of reward is that? How about the Apostle James? Murdered. How about Stephen? Murdered. How about Johnny Mercer? Murdered. Wait a minute. How did they get the rewards? The new earth. The new earth.
The resurrection.
You got to look. And so we have to say, choose ye. Choose you. Now, we're in a blessed situation where we get a lot of rewards here, but nothing in comparison what can the future be. Amen. And here is Acts 4:18, the apostles. Same situation. Who are they talking to? The Christian church. It's the Hebrews. It's not Pilate. It's the church is the problem. And calling them, they gave them the sweeping charge not to be sounding aloud nor even to be teaching upon the name of Yahushua. Yeah, oh, that's really good. But Peter and John answering said unto them, whether it be right in the presence of Yahweh unto you to be hearkened rather than to Yahweh judge. For we cannot but be speaking the things which we have seen and heard. They, however, further charging them with threats, let them go finding nothing as to how they might chastise them on account of the people, because all were glorifying Yahweh for that which had come to pass, the healing of the man at the gate beautiful. Chapter 5:28. Oh no, these guys are back again. No, 28, chapter 5, 28, 29. And I can't see. Oh, and the high, well, let's say, and the high priest questioned them, saying, strictly, did we, and this is the high priest, this is the Pope, this is Billy Graham, this is Kenneth Copeland, this is Joyce Myers, you know, anybody high, strictly did we charge you not to be teaching upon this name? And lo, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are minded to bring down upon us the blood of this man. Well, duh! You're the one who said, crucify him! What are you talking about? Remind me of Biden. But Peter and the apostles answering said, it is needful to be yielding obedience unto Yahweh rather than to men. So that's really simple. Am I going to obey Yahweh or man? And the Elohim, our fathers, has, you know, awoken. That's Egaro up Yahushua, whom ye got into your hands, suspending him upon a tree. Yeah, right in your face. Him as Prince and Leader and Savior hath Yahweh exalted his right hand to give repentance unto Israel and remission of sins. And we'll stop there. But that's our job now, to be imitators of Elisha and Elijah, even though we're not called in a prophetic ministry. We are called to teach what we know and to benefit people in all the good stuff that they're willing to learn, but also don't be silent when lies are being taught. And so I give a prophecy for the people. Father, we thank you for these words through our Lord and Savior Mashiach Yahushua. Each moment of each breath that you take, I am present within you. I abide within you because my Ruach HaKodesh abides within you. I communicate with you, whether you realize it or not. Be silent, be still, and listen to the still small voice. Listen to my presence, my communications, my feelings, my leading that comes to you. So at all times, submit yourself to my will, and I will make myself known to you. Amen. See you next week.
Thanks.